Jim McClellan.
I was just saying, Jim, that I'm nervous about this time zone thing as to whether we got it right. But I was going to blame you, obviously. But
well,
now that
yeah,
you're here, I'll take joint responsibility. But you got it made right anyway.
Joint responsibility. You and I responsible? I don't believe that.
Exactly. Jim sent me an email beforehand saying, "An R is fine, JR. I'll try to behave myself." And I went back to him and said, "Well, please don't."
Don't be just. That's my favorite kind of humor, Irish.
Well, that's good. No, I said to in an email to everybody else, Jim, that the last time we were on the phone, we spoke for hours. I'm not sure whether you remember that.
Yes.
And then, of course, a number of all sorts of crazy ideas and daft notions, which haven't come off yet. But we will talk anon about those, not tonight, but we will definitely get something going together.
Yeah.
So just to, for everybody else's perspective, so far, what we had talked about was maybe trying to do a seminar together, and maybe do it in Ireland was our original thought, and then we'd talk about a few other things too. Unfortunately, I had a little bit of illness and in the family, so that didn't really happen this year, but I'm sure we'll get round to that, Jim, wouldn't you reckon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, let's just get going. At the moment, we only have a few on, but because it was recorded, that's what I assumed. And then, you know, there'll clearly be people who wanted to crack on, who wanted to have a wee look at it later on. I suppose it kind of makes sense, whilst you're here, for me to go through, as briefly as possible, because most of you know it, how I came across Jim and what his techniques did for me, and then perhaps you could maybe just, you know, jump in and out, Jim, as necessary. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I mean, the within my challenge, I did the traditional thing of going to see a pro, you know, in great detail, actually, doing the stance and all of those things, you know, grip, nothing which would actually in any way necessarily... nothing which would in any way kind of be something that you would disagree with, actually, Jim, you know, I would have thought. And then, for various reasons, I started searching, you know, on the internet for, as we all do, for the secret, in inverted commas, that we all kind of assume is there within golf. And came across Jim's stuff, watched the little clip. You have a slightly different clip on your homepage now, Jim, but you know that little 2-second one that you had on originally? That was a clip, and I kind of became mesmerized by that and thought, well, you know, it's definitely worth an attempt to you know, this seems to be worth a try. I mean, I was already spending quite a lot of money on what was going on. It looked like a different notion in terms of learning golf. It looked like something that would resonate with me much more so than this kind of an emphasis on breaking the swing down. So I did one little step before that. I watched, and I'll not say who it is, but it's somebody actually with a name relatively similar to yours, Jim, who produces an 8-step swing process, a very famous US coach. And I fell asleep during his 8-step swing process video. And that's the absolute truth. And I can remember waking up and thinking, you know, that I cannot do the swing in 8 steps. Huge overwhelm. By the time you've got, you're concentrated on your, you know, your stance and your feet and your alignment and your grip and all of those things, so then put a further 8 steps on that. It simply didn't work for me, and I would argue that it doesn't work for most folk. So I ended up with Jim's stuff. I watched the videos endlessly, and Jim, we have another gentleman on the phone by the name of Hamilton who has watched your video endlessly too, who perhaps I'll have a little chat with in a minute, but so I watched it endlessly over and over and over again. Then what I did was transfer that little 2-minute clip onto my phone, onto the computer, onto all sorts of things, and watched it relentlessly. Hour after hour after hour, sometimes just on in the background, not just sitting necessarily staring at it. I suppose this makes you feel slightly stalked, Jim, but ultimately off the back of that, I would maintain that's the bare bones of where my swing came from, and it allowed me to get into a position very, very quickly where I felt I had a replicable swing. I then contacted Jim, about halfway through the year, because I told him about the challenge and he was very intrigued by it. I contacted him with my swing and I thought it was good at that stage. I thought I'd reached the stage where he was going to go, that's fantastic. And he didn't. He told me I was trying too hard. I'm not sure whether you remember that, Jim, but you know, after a few days, I kind of understood what he meant. I went back and I just kept trying to make it as fluid and fluid and fluid as possible. So, my swing, such as it is, was very, very strongly modelled on what Jim does. It was not just on the process that he talks about within the DVD, but also on specifically modelling that little swing. Now, that's part of his process anyway. Jim talks about, you know, the learning process, which resonates enormously with me in terms of just copying something, in terms of watching and copying. It's the same way a child learns to walk, it's the same way a child learns to talk. We kind of, when we're very young, that's how we learn. I think you learned the banjo by copying, didn't you, Jim?
Right.
Yeah. So that's really how I came to then having contact with Jim, and then we've had lots of contact over the years then subsequent to that. And, you know, I would be, you know, I don't want to, I mean, Jim might disagree with me here, I don't want to necessarily disregard all other forms of learning golf, the golf swing, but I definitely learned my swing almost in its entirety from Jim. And would very much stand over for those people who think along those ways and don't want to go down that multi-step kind of engineering approach to a swing. I cannot recommend Jim's system strongly enough. Anyway, that's how I came across you and your teachings, Jim. Do you want to give a little bit of your story then?
Absolutely. I will say you're my hero. you did what I wish every student would do, and that is pay real close attention and practice your butt off. And anybody that goes from shooting 102 to scratch in a year is cool, and obviously they're doing something right in order to accomplish that. And I would sit up and listen. Was it because of my instruction? Yes, partly. But my instruction without somebody that has John's work ethic is worthless. And let me give you just a little tiny bit of background on me and why I'm different than other golf pros, which I don't call myself a golf pro. Necessarily, I tell them I play the piano in a house of horizontal refreshment rather than be a golf pro, because I think most golf pros ruin their golfers, their students. It's been my experience, without trying to be funny. I grew up in a very strange environment. My dad had a golf course and driving range when I was 8 years old. And I was playing Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and playing cowboy and Tarzan and swinging through the trees, and all this kind of stuff was what I was thinking about. But when my dad built the driving range, I was mesmerized by watching people hit a golf ball. I thought that was absolutely gorgeous, how that little white ball would go flying through the wild blue yonder through space and land 100, 200, 300 yards away. I was just smitten by that concept. Now, where that goes is here. Day in and day out, I sold buckets of balls and I watched golfers. I have watched so many more swings than Tiger Woods and all the top 10 guys put together. I know what the man on the street is trying to go through. So I watched these swings, and I went up to the golfers who had really, really fine swings and could hit the ball very far, and I asked them, where'd you get it? Where did you find your swing? I want one like it. I noticed that 1% had, or maybe even fewer, had a really nice swing and hit the ball well. I noticed that 99% of them were hackers. They were swinging and hitting the bucket in their bag and missing the ball entirely and were pathetic. And I asked them, too. I said, how are you doing with your golf? What's your concept? What's your view? And they said, I've read every book I can. I've taken lessons from every golf pro I can. I've read every golf magazine I can. This must be really difficult. I said, excuse me. Even when I was 10 years old, I knew this. How much can you swing, can you think in 2 seconds? I knew that even at that young age, if I was thinking and hitting the ball at the same time, it didn't work. I found out that there are very few things that this golf swing takes. And I found out the better the swing, the better the result. And I found out that you have to take the club back far enough so that you can generate smooth power by the time you get back to the ball. So we have to have a good backswing. I found out that the head is the hub of the swing, and you watch a good player and he has a still head. He swings around his head. Wherever his head moves, the swing moves with it, so keep the head still. And I found out that if the follow-through is really good, then you go through the ball right, and besides, it looks cool. Now, people who contact me and they're having a problem, it's one of those three things. You can stand on one leg, you can have a terrible grip, you can do all kinds of goofy things, but if your backswing is good and your head is still, and your follow-through is good, you will be in the top 1% of all amateur golfers, period. Now, when you go to a driving range and you watch people swing, you think, oh my God, what planet are they from? Do they not know what a golf swing looks like? They have a TV set. They can tell you, hey, you take it back here, your head stays still, and you follow through. Why is it that they make it so difficult? And I could go on forever, and that's basically, in a nutshell, and one other thing that I would add is the golf professional, the golf industry, knows that they have some gullible people out there, and the more information they can throw at them, the more money they're going to make, the more confused the golfers are going to get, and the more money he's going to spend thinking maybe he didn't get it right the first time with their bad information. Most of the problems golfers have is because of bad information. If you have John's approach, my approach, and you just practice like crazy, just practice all the time, you will be better than you ever thought you could be. This is not difficult. The golf swing is not difficult. Your ultimate goal is to feel like you're not swinging the golf club, someone else is. Stop throwing more information at your golf swing. Try to edit out what's there so that you get to the point where you're just swinging pretty. You have a song in your head and you're just smooth and you're cool. That's it. There's no more to it than that.
I forgot. It's actually, it's a while since I watched your DVD, but I'd forgotten about that added bonus that you used to say about that it looks cool into the bargain, which of course is true. But, you know, from my perspective, you know, you're completely speaking, preaching to the converted, but it is so refreshing for me to hear that again, as I have, because, you know, since I finished the challenge, then I have learned more and more and more about the golf swing, just by the nature of being so much more exposed to golf. And then I realized, even as I listen to you now, just how much I have started to overly complicate it in my own mind. And I think for the benefit of everybody else, even that, you know, I really don't want to, you know, I think everybody should buy Jim's DVD, but I don't want to make this into a big pitch for it, and that's not really the intention of what we're doing here.
No, it isn't.
You know, I persuaded Jim to come along just because, you know, I kind of would regard him as a friend. But even if you go to his website, you can see on that main video, you can see what he talks about there in terms of, it's very easy to look at that and think, well, you know, what about all the other aspects? What about your leg movements? What about all of these other things? And you can see Jim on the seat hitting the ball, you know, effortlessly. And that way, I think you managed to, in that little bit of video, Jim, you managed to, you know, cure a small slice in your first shot and then hit a nice draw in the second one. And you know, it looks so difficult, but it's all based upon those basic principles that you talk about. It's seems weird in a world of incredibly complex analysis of golf swings to be able to keep it as simple as that. But as you say, you know, I've made a number of, you know, friends, a couple of good friends actually within the golf journalism business now. One of them who writes for, without saying necessarily what it is, but it's comfortably the largest circulation golf magazine in the world. You can, you know, work out that one for yourself. But he would maintain that they have this utterly ludicrous situation whereby they will have, you know, one of the top five golf pros in the world, teaching pros, who comes up with, you know, something to do with the backswing for the sake of argument. And, you know, that's going into that magazine, that little specific snippet of how to control the golf swing. But in the same magazine, you've got another top five golf pro in the world who is giving the same type of tip, except actually saying something radically different. And the only way that they can manage that, because they need all of these guys in the magazine because it helps sell the magazine, is by separating that content as wide as apart in the magazine as they can and get as many pages between the two of it. Now, that's from a very famous golf journalist, as I say, who writes for one of the magazines, and I have spoken to every subsequent golf journalist that I've met about that issue, and they all agree. So, you know, the whole industry, the whole publishing magazine industry, and again, I don't want to bite the hand that fed me, because, you know, a lot of them have given me tremendous coverage, but they will agree in private that actually you end up with a tremendous amount of conflicting advice from a lot of different pros. And they have to put it in there because, you know, if you've got these guys in there, you help to sell a few more magazines, you get, you know, Nike or Callaway or whatever to advertise, because it drives the whole thing. But they have to sell a new magazine every month, they have to have a new slice cure every month, they have to have a new how to hit it an extra 20 yards or 30 yards each month, because those are the things that sell the magazine. Now, you know, I buy the magazine to, you know, for you know, I kind of wonder why sometimes, but, you know, there's some great content in them. But that is an absolute gospel truth that they live on this kind of, or they exist within a slightly, you know, misleading premise is a bit harsh, but, you know, but that is kind
they
of...
They must be politicians.
Yes. Yes. There has to be, because...
You're absolutely right, and, you know, I was going to throw something else in the mix, and that is this. The people, the golf students that I know that do the best aren't great deep thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
There's an expression, the great golf swing comes from the dull, unimaginative mind. I have found that engineers, and I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes out there, but engineers and people who analyze everything to death do very poorly with our game.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best golf swings and best players, scratch players I've seen are like bricklayers. They don't think, and I've talked to people about that very concept. And there was a man in 1936, I think, he went to the PGA and gave a speech, and he was a rebel, and he said that you guys are making it way too difficult. He said, you're doing that to sell golf lessons. And he said, it's actually a very simple thing. And this guy took him off to the side and said, you're killing us here. He said, you're absolutely right, but we can't make a living if it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another man whose name was Tommy Armour, who taught in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in the 50s. He made $25 for 15 minutes. He sat in a chair and drank mint juleps. Mm-hmm. And... So he was making $100 an hour in the 50s, and they said, how come your lessons are only 15 minutes long? He said, I can tell you everything you need to know about the golf swing in 15 minutes. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not some fine-tuning that you'll pick up with John, and you can pick up with me at the little fine-tuning aspects of this game. But you must wrap your head around the concept that the golf swing is a phenomenon that happens in 2 seconds. And from the top of the backswing to the ball is only a fourth of a second, and you absolutely cannot think during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Hogan used to say he is somewhat aware of the backswing position, and then the next thing he knows, the golf ball is 50 yards gone, and that's exactly what happens, and that's how we're restricted with the human system, the body and the brain. That's how quick it is.
Mm-hmm. It is correct to say, Jim, isn't it, that you kind of, you watched Sam Snead swinging live, didn't you?
When
it
was yes.
Young. Yeah. Because it's one of the stories that I've used to increase my own story, for want of a better argument, that you kind of learned your swing to a large extent from Sam Snead, and I think that I learned mine from you.
Watch a good golf swing and let it soak in, because it will, and if you're playing golf with some guys that have bad golf swings, shut your eyes, because that will also sneak in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Snead's swing is the most magnificent example in my mind of that effortless swishing motion to an extent that I think you advocate. I'm a huge fan of Hogan too, and again, probably went way too technical in terms of analysing his swing over a period of time, but there is something really beautiful about Snead's swing, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he stole it from me.
Yeah.
Real quickly, you mentioned Ben Hogan's book. I'm a big fan of Ben Hogan, the golfer. Mm-hmm. Ben Hogan, the teacher. I was shooting about 80 when I was 13, and I read his book over the winter,
mm-hmm.
and then went back out, and promptly he added 10 strokes to my score. I couldn't break 90.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did that to sell books.
Mm-hmm.
He was a businessman.
Mm-hmm. But it is, you know, I mean, I think one of the problems with his book is it's such a beautiful book as well. It's very difficult not to get caught up in the romantic, you know, view of it, but yeah, and get stuck into it, you know. But yeah, I read Snead's book as well. But I think it's out of print, but I read it during the year too. You know, and it's a very different kind of a book, certainly. But
incidentally, I have seen Mr. John Richardson's golf swing, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's economy of motion. It's very effective.
Oh, it's very kind of you to say so. It's funny, there are a few wee problems with it at the moment, but...
I'm not trying to be nice.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate that.
I'm the anti-pro, I'm not nice.
That's right. So, Hannington, you've watched Jim swing on the video several times, and have you any questions about it? What have you got from it, or have you any queries for Jim? Is there anything that you particularly... want to take away from this?
No, basically I was introduced to Jim via your website, of course.
Yes.
And what happened was that I was seeing his seeing Jim's swing just totally hypnotized me.
Yes.
And just having received the DVD about 3 weeks ago, I threw myself into the way he explains and teaches the golf swing, and have just basically done what he has said for these 3 weeks. And having played to a handicap of 5 already,
yes.
I've gone through like these ups and downs and with my swing, and now just suddenly seeing how simple he explains and how the golf swing really is has really transformed me, at least. And what I see now is just basically that my swing has a purpose.
Yes.
And hearing music and doing exactly what he says really just grooves and improves my swing. I just have like a few questions about how he recommends keeping on practice. Like, I swung according to his theory for 2 weeks before I hit some balls.
Mm-hmm.
And the balls, I wasn't feeling I was hitting the balls, but I was experiencing the ball flying just incredibly. And now being back again I went back in for 1 more week and then hit more balls, and that was even more amazing. I just wanted to just look at what exactly he recommends of, like, for instance, swinging irons, practicing with, like, swing the irons versus woods, for instance, whether swinging slow and fast to groove the swing, and of course the intervals of how long I should be swinging one club, and things like that.
Great. I think that the answer on that is that you have a great attitude. You're paying very close attention to detail, and now you can go in by instinct. As far as how much practice, absolutely as much as you can. You don't want to swing when you're tired, because then you will start, certain muscles will start taking over for other ones. But here's the key to this whole thing, and this is huge. Videotape yourself.
Yes.
Because what you think you're doing and what you are doing are two different things. The main thing is, and this goes contrary to human behavior, we are creatures of curiosity. We want to look at other information. We want to see if there's something that we missed along the way somehow. Your goal should be to keep it just absolutely very, very simple and not let anything in your mind that you don't need. It's really quite dull to be to develop a good swing, because it keeps pulling you back to the basics that John talks about, that I talk about. How is the backswing? Is it far enough? Is the head moving? Does the follow-through look good? If we're slicing, we know how to fix that. The goal, I think, and John will verify this, since I'm not a golf, I have been, but since I'm not the head pro at some exclusive country club, I don't have to sell a lot of lessons to golfers and have them keep coming back and keeping them in no man's land. My ultimate goal is to teach my student how to teach themselves, to know that when they make a mistake, they can fix it, and they can fix it on the golf course. A lot of my students from via my DVDs are now teaching just using that same method. And the thing you will find, and we mentioned, John and I mentioned Ben Hogan, after he screwed up a lot of golfers, after he practiced all this and got really highly technical, one of the last things he said before he died was, "Give me the simple swing." I said, "Thank you very much, Ben."
What I've experienced like swinging before is that every time I swung, I sort of felt a different motion. Sometimes I was feeling my lower body moving too fast or slow, my upper body, my hands, and swing the way you do it sort of has simplified the thought process around swinging.
That is an excellent viewpoint. And the answer to that is, we are different creatures every day. If you'll notice, when you're signing your name, it's always a little different. Or when you're walking down the street, you feel sometimes like you're walking better than other times, or speaking better than other times. The top golf pros in the world will tell you that they feel just like you described. Sometimes your swing will be a little different here or there. The more you practice, the more you push the golf swing back into the cerebellum, the motor control part of the brain, the less variance there will be.
Because like I said, after about a week or so, I videotaped myself, and I was sure that I was my head was still, but it wasn't at all. And the thing is, I had a slight up and down motion and a back and forward motion. And what I had to actually do was, I found out that I was sort of locking my lower body, which I've been done previously, just to basically to build up power. And by releasing, by relaxing my lower body, and letting the lower body turn to facilitate the head standing still, that was what really changed my swing again the next week or so, making it possible to keep that head still. But is exactly what you, because I see I initially didn't see the lower body movement of yours on the video, but after having kept the head still, why letting the lower body do whatever it had to do, sort of
that is
left.
Profound. What you just said right there is the key. Let the body do what it wants to do. And the amazing thing about this great machine that we have, if we get out of the way, it will do what it's supposed to do.
Because, like, I've been scared with these words like reverse pivots and stuff like that. And
oh, I hate that.
Thereof not, let's restricting the lower body of moving, and then using the lower body, viciously to get power into the swing.
Have you ever noticed how bad their golf swings look, those guys?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned something in your blog about maybe writing a book, counting one, two, three, like...
Yes.
Is that something that is coming up, or...?
I've got to do that. I've got to...
Okay.
Thank you very much for remembering that, and
okay.
It's I've got it all in my head and some down on paper. I just need to use a little self-discipline and get her out there, because I would love to do that, and thanks.
Okay, and what about maybe just selling a hat of your, like, I've been using a hat when I've been swinging, just like basically one that looks like, just like your white hat.
Really?
And maybe a CD with you whistling waltz time, would that be something?
Yes, should be doing something like that.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Again, you know, you say, you mentioned something there that you felt was profound. As far as I'm concerned, that's profound too, Hamilton. I think you may or may not know that, but I dug very deeply into how people learn. And to an extent, I haven't covered a lot of that in the blueprint yet, because some of it goes a wee bit, it gets a wee bit out there, and I'd like to keep it relatively simple. But the learning process is the thing that fascinates me. So what I did was, I discovered this, the process of NLP and modeling, and one of the things that, that people do within that is to try and really imagine, it's much more than just trying to copy Jim Swing or Sam Snead Swing or whoever this swing, this kind of perfect swing is that you have. It's about really getting into the head of that person. So what I used to do was imagine that I was standing there, that I was Jim, and that's what I'm saying, it makes them feel a bit stalked here, but and I would imagine that I had the hat in my head, that I would imagine that I was wearing the shirt. I would imagine that, you know, that it was a nice warm day, which was kind of probably more rare here in Ireland than it was over with you, Jim. But the process of really imagining, of really going deep into hearing the sound, seeing what he sees, you know, feeling the hat and all of those things, actually dramatically accelerates, and this is scientifically proven, your ability to try and replicate that swing motion or whatever it is, that thing that you are trying to learn. You know, sales guys use this a tremendous amount to try and model the best salesman in their, you know, group or team or whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
So that process actually, and it you know, I know it was a wee bit of a joke, but the process of almost selling the hat is worthwhile to an extent, in my view.
Yeah, because that's what I'm actually doing. I have a hat like that, and I'm just basically doing exactly what you're saying. And NLP, talking about that, I've done Tony Robbins' course and stuff like that.
Well, then
that,
you
so
understand what I'm saying.
I'm really into that as well.
Those points that you made, John, are huge.
Yeah.
And that's true. I know in other fields that I do, recently took up competitive dancing, and when we were doing country western, if I did not have my cowboy hat on and my belt buckle and my cowboy boots,
mm-hmm.
and my Levi's just exactly like the best dancers, I couldn't dance as good.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working on Sam Snead's swing, I got a hat like his.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the feeling that I was swinging around the hat, and the system, I am so in awe of the system, meaning the brain and the body and how that all works together and how it wants to really do it right,
mm-hmm.
and how it wants to really keep it very, very basic and simple. Is all when you model and like you were pointing out these things, the more detail you can give the modeling, which sounds in contrast to what I'm saying as far as technique, mm-hmm. but the more you can envision someone that you want to swing like, the better you will do.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing with artists. Artists copy a certain particular thing, they start dressing like the artist. They start using the same paintbrushes and the same easel. Gardner Dickinson, who was a famous old golf pro, modeled after Ben Hogan, and you could see the swing was the same. He dressed exactly like Ben Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Venturi wore the same hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so John's points about feeling the sun on your back and getting, and a lot of guys, of course, I went to the fabric store and got that material and had those shirts custom made, but the more you can get into the model, the more you can duplicate what you want, the more you will.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, it is, you know, we're probably overusing the word, but it is profound when you grasp it properly. It's it's a truly bizarre thing. And as you say, in my view, it certainly doesn't contradict in any way the concept of trying to keep the swing simple, you know, by going into the detail of the modelling, you know, because that's a very different thing. But by going into the detail of the modelling, seeing what you see, feeling what you feel, hearing what you hear, you know, it kind of shortcuts a lot of that sitting and watching and thinking, okay, well, what's he doing now? I mean, I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, Jim, because I'll tell this story too, but my other realization within this was watching Rory McIlroy at the range, and just that, you know, there were two or three of these moments where it happened to me in terms of this real understanding of it. And it was very early on in the process when I was messed up with my swing and was caught up in so much of the technical aspects of it. And, you know, Rory, at that age, was only 15, and he was on the range beside me, which, of course, you know, there's another great swing to model. But it utterly effortless his swing was in those days. I mean, he's only a wee fella, 5'9", but he used to hit at huge distances. But the sense of balance and that he has is astonishing. So there was never any falling off the ball at the end in terms of the lack of balance. So with this moment where I stood there in despair about my own swing and just watched him, and I didn't actually know who he was at that stage, watched him, you know, for about 15 minutes just hitting beautiful, beautiful drive after beautiful drive. And then I come back, I hit the ball again myself, and lo and behold, I'm striking it infinitely better than I was whenever I had sort of stopped in despair. So the process is, you know, the key point of that story is, in no way did I look at any specific aspect of what he was doing and think, oh, I see what he does with his hands two-thirds of the way up the backswing, or I see what he's doing with his knee, I see what he, you know. It was this absorbing on an overall basis of what he did. It was the swing. It wasn't the individual parts of the swing.
It was the essence of the golf swing.
Yes.
Not the pieces.
Yes, exactly. And that's where it all, I think, you know, I had probably started watching your video at that stage, or it was all coming through to me at the same time. And the other realization that I had of this was I watched Padraig Harrington. I went to the gym one night, and I watched Padraig Harrington. I was tired, and I couldn't be bothered, and it was late, and I was trying to try, you know, at that stage I was really trying to cram too many things in. So I sat in the gym at about 10 o'clock at night, and it happened to be, it was a Hawaiian Open or something like that, and he was, you know, the other side of the world, and I watched him hit a 7-iron into the pin, and it landed, you know, a foot or something away from the hole. And I can remember thinking, I absorbed that full swing that he had, and thought, you know, that's kind of effortless, if only I could do that. Went home, went out on the golf course the next day, played very, very badly for the first four holes. This is in the book, but it needs to be reinforced, this story. I stood in the tee of, playing with my normal playing partner, and it was a par three hole, and it was a 7-iron, and I'd lost the first four holes. And I thought to myself, right, I have to try and pull this together. Just try and imagine that you're Padraig Harrington playing that shot the previous night. Now, what I did was I actually tried to imagine that I was there in Hawaii. I just transported everything from that image so that suddenly it wasn't me trying to copy Harrington, you know, how he swings the ball. It was me assuming that I was Harrington on that tee, playing exactly the shot that he played when he hit that. And the ball landed a foot from the hole, I got my birdie, and then I won the next six out of the next seven holes.
Yes.
And completely destroyed my playing partner on that day. And he still talks about it, but it wasn't me trying to take anything out of his swing. It was me just imagining that I was Harrington. Because actually, you know,
you skipped all the stages in between.
Exactly.
You just went right to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I need to throw something in here real quick. I don't know how many people are listening, but I do not know. Now, I've been around this game for a long time, since I was 8, and I'm 117 now. And I don't know anyone who has ever gone from shooting 102 to scratch in 1 year. I do have never heard of that. Well, so when somebody would talk and they with that kind of a record, I'd be listening. One other real quick thing I'd like to throw at the group is this. It takes an incredible amount of practice. Do not think that all you need is the information without the practice, because it won't work. Mm-hmm. Babes Harris, I have been practiced so much that my hands bled, that I had to wrap gauze around my the hands. I could. That's all I thought about during the formative time when I was developing my golf swing, was to swing the golf club every day. And, of course, being at my dad's driving range, in between, I would sneak out and hit golf balls all day long. Mm-hmm. It takes, and you hear about John hitting 600, 700 balls a day. That's what it takes. When I took up the banjo, I was playing professionally in a year. I practiced 8 hours a day. So with the right information comes an incredible amount of work. If you're watching TV, you're watching the golfers on TV on the weekend, during a commercial, get up, go outside, and swing the golf club. When you get up in the morning, start your day by swinging a golf club. Mm-hmm. Do it. Another really important thing that I think John is covering or will cover is this. You are highly susceptible to information just before you go to bed at night. If you will watch a really good swing for 10 or 15 minutes before you drift off to sleep, then your subconscious mind will work on it while you're sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely true. And to be honest, that's a shortcut. You know, you can get a lot out of that, and it's a simple thing to do. As you say, it does take a lot of balls, but there are some shortcuts within it, and, you know, you can, the aspect of, you know, your process, it doesn't require having to get to the range every day. There's an awful lot that you can do in the backyard.
Most of the golf swing, I think 90% should be without a golf ball. You want to develop a swing and get that carved into your cerebellum without a golf ball, which is a distraction. Mm-hmm. You want to get it so good that you don't even care if there's a golf ball there or not. Mm-hmm. Another thing you should do while you're watching TV is have a golf club in your hands. Be so used to a golf club in your hands that it becomes part of you, not a foreign object. Mm-hmm. You will get so good, and we can laugh about this. After a while, and I can do this, I can tell how good a golfer is by the way he gets his golf clubs out of the trunk of his car. Mm-hmm. There's something about when you become part of your equipment, when you become part of, you know, you can tell by the way somebody tees up a golf ball on the first tee how good they are. You really can. Mm-hmm. Because they get so involved in becoming part of the game, the golf club becomes part of them. And another thing that I should mention, that you were talking about, Rory, people would say to me, you swing so easy. How do you hit the ball so far? I swing incredibly fast, mm-hmm. not hard. Fast is the speed of a cheetah. Hard is the power of a rhinoceros. You want to swing fast, and what I try to do is, because I like to show off, is I try to see how easy I can make it look, how smooth I can make it look, and at the same time, how fast I can swing. Now, when I weighed 123, I could hit the ball 300 yards, and those were old range balls, and those were the steel shafts and persimmon woods, which are like a baseball bat right now, but I could do it that way because I would try to see how fast I could swing. And I will tell you how fast I would swing. After a small bucket of balls, I was absolutely exhausted. So when you see a swing and say, oh, they're not swinging very fast, the hell they're not. They have to be to hit the ball that far. Well, there's no other way around it.
For me, after having swung for half an hour, so I'm fit myself, but it gives me an incredible good workout for the upper body. And it's like I really feel it in my upper body, my shoulders, my lats, and my chest. So it's it really gives you a workout swinging.
It really does. And if you are can hit bucket after bucket after bucket, you're not swinging fast enough.
Yeah, you're
I don't care
right.
if you're Superman.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a very interesting point that you made there that I really don't want to get into the in-depth analysis of it, but there's a very crucial point that you made that I noticed that you do in your swing, and and I noticed that Rory does it. You can go and watch it in the swing now, but I first watched it on the range at the same time. So you talk about there about swinging very fast, but making it not look fast.
Yes.
So if you watch the end of Jim's swing, and then watch this stacked of YouTube video of Rory. You watch the end of Rory's swing, and it looks slow as it comes up. So there's an active slowing down process rather than the club wrapping around the neck in a very aggressive way. Now, sometimes if you see, there's a few clips of Rory where he's smashing a drive, and yes, the club is wrapping around his neck. But you can see that it's happening as part of a very, very controlled slowing down process rather than the club effectively being slowed down by his neck. And there's a very strong similarity between that I feel is between the way that the two of you do that. Now, that is one of the specifics that I specifically force myself to do. So that slowing down of the club towards the end so that you end up in a very, very well balanced follow through where you can hold this balanced follow through and it looks at the end as if you have not smashed the cover off the ball, I think is one of the secrets. I hate to keep using the word secret, but you know, it is kind of a secret. But there's a very strong similarity between the way that that happens, whereas you can see a lot of the other guys simply not doing that. And I mean, arguably, I mean, who am I to criticize Tiger? But it's, you know, sometimes.
Let me tell you what. I'll tell you what you can do. You can give a lot better golf lesson than Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods doesn't have any idea how we think.
Well, you see, that's always my point in this.
Now, one other thing that you said that I have to jump onto, and that mm-hmm. is this, exactly what John's talking about. Try to have that finish, try to have your swing exactly the same every time, and try to hold your finish until the ball hits the ground. Now, the reason I say that is this. If you, let's say, swing, and you don't hit the ball like you want to, and you say, oh, hell, or something a little stronger than that, and you don't finish the swing because you're disgusted with how you hit it, your brain still records that swing, and it becomes confused. Which swing am I supposed to do? The cerebellum is fighting between trying to carve a groove in itself, and if you miss the ball or you have a bad swing, still try to finish good, at least record in your brain the good swing.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many people get disgusted because they don't hit it right, so they don't even finish right. The brain still records that.
No, I completely agree.
John, Jim, can I just ask a question? Sandra here.
Sure.
The video clip that's on the website.
Yes.
Are you telling me that is in no way slowed down at all?
The video clip of Jim swing?
Yes.
No.
That is all in real time, because that's incredible.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the last part of the clip?
We're talking about, I have on the website the little clip of the little two-second clip that I used to watch.
Okay.
That you used to have on. Sandra, what you want to do...
It's still on Jim's website.
It is still there, is it? Yeah.
Swing. Yeah.
But go to Jim's... You see the clip that Jim has at the top of his website now?
That's the one where I'm swearing?
Yeah, which always makes me happy, I have to say. Being a natural swearer myself and always having to contain myself on these calls. But,
a friend of mine said that he thought that he drove by this golf course for 10 years, he thought the name of the game was Oh Shit.
Yeah.
I think for most people it should be called that.
Yeah. Funny, all the swearing was edited out of my book. And I'm still slightly, it still makes me cross. And they did another weird thing, that I used arse 6, which of course is the UK version of ass. I used it 16 times, but it's just the word that I used. And they did this word check, and they came back to me and said, well, you've used R 16 times.
And you said, I don't do that much, do I?
Yeah. So then I had to, you know, I had to cut down the amount of arses in the book. And then what they did for the American market is change the arse to ass.
Yep.
Anyway, we've somewhat gone off the point of a good swing here. But if you watch...
Jim McClellan, also known as...
Okay, go ahead. If you watch toward the, you can watch that. But what I'm talking about is that the way that he slows down towards the end. I just think there's so much to be learned from that. So much.
I need to throw this in. It's not something I've consciously done.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I have. In
trying to get to a really nice finish, and the finish will tell you where the ball went. If you finish so that you're looking over your right elbow at the finish, you're probably going to hit it straight.
Yeah.
I get questions from people that say, I'm hitting the ball to the left, what am I doing? The answer is you're swinging to the left.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth... The reason why I noticed the gym was because I used to find I couldn't understand how Rory could hit the ball so far when he was 15 and have this slowing down thing towards the end.
Well, you know, the ball will decelerate the club somewhat.
Yes, well, for sure. But it was just, and then I noticed you doing the same thing, so it allowed me to have, the only swing saw that I allow myself to have is holding a balanced follow through. So I know that if I start the swing, if I can have this image of a balanced follow through, and again, I find a picture of Retief Goosen, a great picture of Retief Goosen with an absolutely beautiful follow through.
He's gorgeous.
I printed it on my board, and that's what I used to use as my last swing thought. If I was going to have a swing thought before I would hit, I would imagine that all my goal was to get that balanced, incredibly under control, club, you know, perfect, no swaying, follow through. And if you do that, it's actually very, very difficult to hit a bad shot.
Absolutely right. And, you know, as you finish good, believe it or not, what you have to do to finish that good is you have to go through the ball that good.
Yes.
So everything is set up before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you keep saying that you're watching this guy swing and watching that guy swing and watching all the great swings, and everybody listening, listen to John, because he has proof positive that his way of looking at this thing works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, that is what worked for me. That is what, I mean, you know, I suppose there's no point in me saying, yeah, I have so many of these examples that, you know, there's no point in me having made this up.
Would everybody not agree with this statement that your best shots that you've hit, when you finish hitting them, you've said, I don't remember thinking about what I was doing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One quick little antidote that one golfer was using as an illustration is he was also a concert pianist, and he said that he went to a recital, and there was this fantastic piano player. He was, his right hand's going one way, his left hand's going the other way. He went through a very, very difficult passage. And he said, it's almost humanly impossible to play the piano that good. And he went up to the guy after the concert, and he said, that passage, you nailed it. He said, I've never heard it played so good, so clean, in perfect timing. He said, may I ask you this question? He said, what were you thinking about in order to affect that piece? He said, dinner after the concert.
Yeah, it's a good story, actually. So, has anybody else any questions for Jim?
Jim, it's Derek here from England. Do you think, when you're looking at the ball, are you trying to, do you think you're hitting the ball, or you're swinging the club and the ball gets in the way?
It's a good question. First of all, when I look at the ball, I look at the back of the ball, not the top of the ball.
Right.
And it's an incredibly good question, in that sometimes I think I'm just smashing into a wall. But sometimes I'm thinking about just showing off and trying to impress somebody and just trying to look cool. there's no sensation of hitting the ball because it's so fast that you can't react that. But as a matter of fact, by the time you've hit the ball and said, I have hit the golf ball, the golf ball is 45 yards gone. So it's not something that if you stop to think about it, and I think I mentioned it on one of my DVDs, no human being is able to say, I'm hitting the ball now, unless you're from Krypton, because it's so quick. It happens so fast that there's no awareness. You feel like you're kind of like from the top of the backswing to the follow-through. I think John will verify this. You feel kind of like you're in a coma. I mean, it's just like you're in la-la land if you are effective, if you are efficient with the golf swing. If you're thinking about a part in between the backswing and the ball or the follow-through, if you're thinking about something in that time period, which some of the golf pros, a lot of them, most of them, will say you should be doing, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, there's a process which isn't now for this conversation now, but that I use where you actually repeat a phrase during that, so that you are actively not thinking about a swing thought, because I just think there's nothing more destructive.
John has a trick with that. He thinks about girls.
I'm too old, though. Another point I think that we all find is sometimes you think, oh, there's a ditch up there. If I hit this too far, you know, I could end up in a ditch. So I'll take a club less, and I'll just take a real easy swing, and I'll lay up short. And you take it really gentle, and you hit the best shot you hit all day. So I'm sure we could all learn a lot from that.
I think you're right, and sometimes you take, I do not want to be in the ditch. I need to have a nice, smooth swing, and you hit the ball better than you ever hit it in your life right in the ditch.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's true. I did that.
The thing about gentlemen that you want to keep in mind is this, and this came from a fabulous golfer that I talked to one time. He said every time he hits the ball, he thinks in terms of, could I have swung faster or could I have swung smoother? Predominantly, which is your point, and it's well taken, the most important thing is to be absolutely smooth with this golf swing. And when you are smooth, see if you can swing a little bit faster. And that's how I got to hit the ball so far when I was a kid, is every time I hit the ball, I said, could you have put a little more into it? And I said to myself, yes, I could. So that set a new standard. And I would watch the ball go, and I would hit it out there so far and say, that is your new next goal, is to hit it another yard further than that. And eventually, it you start moving it further and further out there. It's like if I took you, you'd never been in a car, and we went 30 miles an hour, it'd scare you to death.
Mm-hmm.
If we then went 60 miles an hour, that would really scare you to death, and then we went back to 30 miles an hour, it wouldn't scare you at all, because it's all relative.
Can I put more into it? Surely that doesn't translate into more power into it.
More into it, which is another subject, and I wish we had forever because it's so interesting. And besides, I love your accents. my mom's side was O'Connell, so my dad's side was McClellan. So I'm Scotch and Irish. The feeling I have, which may be contrary, I say right hand. Tommy Armour taught that, and I teach that because I'm a hands player. I think I hurt my back once real bad and couldn't even hardly swing and had to keep my back fairly motionless, and I never played so good because I'm a strong hands player. And that's another thing. Do grip exercises. Do forearm exercises. They're fantastic. I think it's important. If you look at Sam Snead's forearms, they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the players now that hit the ball real far, if you look at even Tiger Woods' forearms, they're getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
When I put the juice on, I don't feel particularly like any one thing is moving faster than anything else. I feel like it's all working together.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think in terms of parts. I think in terms of the whole. And that's what John was talking about when he was talking about the essence of the golf swing. You take a snapshot, you take a picture of it in your mind, and you duplicate that. It's not do this, now this, now this, now this. Now I'm at the top of the backswing. Now I have to do this and this and this and this. Now I'm at the ball. Now I have to do this and this and this, and I'm at the follow through. It's not. It doesn't work that way. I need to be quiet and listen for questions.
Any other questions? Jim?
Jim, it's Alan in Dublin here.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
When I start my backswing, I've no idea what I'm doing from when until I hit the ball. What you're saying, you know, instinctively, you know, it appeals to me, i.e. that just be natural and be simple. I mean, should I go through the process of understanding, you know what I mean, the angle I take it back and where it should be roughly and my left arm straight, and then just forget about it, or should I just continue on as I'm doing?
Did you say go to a golf pro?
I am going to a golf pro, so.
You are going to one?
Yeah.
You're in trouble now.
John, do you know of any psychiatrists in the area? good luck. I feel like if you want to talk about what gets the backswing going, first of all, it's the forward press. It's huge. And if you have the DVD and John's materials, you'll see every good golfer has a forward press, even on their putts.
Mm-hmm.
They get
no
everything going. But to get the club, people say, what do I use to get the club back? Everything works together to get it to a good backswing. There's nothing predominant. You don't swing, you don't break the wrist because they naturally break. You don't do anything out of the ordinary. You let everything work together. And it's very simple. Do not fall for, you need to, with John's material, my material, I'm not trying to boost us, but I've looked at it and there isn't anything else. If there was something else, we would tell you about it. The main thing is to eliminate things. Do not be convinced that a golf pro is suddenly going to make you better. Most of them will make you worse. If there are some golf pros listening, I'm sorry. But that's been my experience.
It has been mine too. Again, I don't want to necessarily...
The reason why John can say this, the reason why I can say this, being the anti-pro, is I don't work at a golf club where I can get fired. I quit being a PGA pro because they would tar and feather me. I am a rebel, and most of the best ideas come from rebels and mavericks and people that don't have to kiss butt or be politically correct. It's like, you know what? Most golf instruction, as my dad used to say, is horseshit. I mean, it is ridiculous. I get phone calls every day, emails every day. I took golf lessons, and you know what that guy did to me? I'm ready to quit. Every day. And so I am their voice. The people that are out there going to the golf pros, they have no idea what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. We need to wrap it up fairly soon, but I think the forward press thing is something that I keep getting asked about, because I forward press and everything, including my putts, and I'd sort of forgotten that I did it to an extent, but I think it is very important. I'm going to produce a wee video as to why I think it's important, but the analogy that I always have in my mind, and I'm not sure whether I got this from you, Jim, or not, so it's kind of like swinging a bucket. If you were trying to swing a bucket and you were lifting it up in one way, it's a very awkward motion, but you would move it one way first and then start the swing. That's the image that I have in my mind.
Yes.
I want to start the swing by going one way and then getting the fluid move back.
Perfect.
So, you know, that's my swing thought within that, and I think it just starts things off in a much more effortless way, to be honest.
I think even a prize fighter does that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
John, you've been in more fights than I have, but but I think even when before they swing, they come back a little bit before they go forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like a porch swing. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You have to start it kind of one way to get the movement going.
Look, if you want to see the cool forward press besides mine, it's very similar. Look at Sam Snead's forward press. If you go to Google and you Google Sam Snead, there will be some swings of his, and watch that he's got a predominantly huge forward press.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Harvey Punick also sort of advocates that.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And he's also very much a guy of, I believe, that sort of advocates, you know, just do it. Just look at the ball, swing the club, and just do it. You know, don't think about it too much.
Perfect.
Yeah. What I loved about the Harvey Punick stuff is take it that aim. I just love that. You know, well, it's all about target, you know.
I get questions all the time. What can I do to improve my golf? And I'll ask them, what is their occupation? And it might be an engineer or something, or somebody who is in an analytical business. And I will say, brain surgery. Have them remove most of your brain.
Right. On that note, we shall wrap it up. Jim, I presume I could maybe persuade you to do this again sometime. Would that be fair to say?
I enjoyed it immensely.
Right. So, for those of you who didn't get a question in, we will do this again. And there's two or three other wee projects that Jim and I will definitely be working on, which obviously we'll let you know about, and we'll try and incorporate into the membership site. And, Jim's stuff is at mcgolf.com, mcgolf.com. For those of you who don't have the DVD, it's well worth a look. You can pick up a lot from his site, you know, without even buying the DVD, but I hugely recommend that you get it. It'll certainly not be one of those, you know, dozens that I presume we all have that just kind of clutter up your thinking. It's a very fresh and interesting way of thinking, and once more, I don't want to give him too much, but, you know, that's where my swing came from. It really did. Well, look, thank you very much indeed, Jim. I enormously appreciate your time. We will speak in the next few days anyway about the various other things, and thank you very much to everybody else for...
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you very much, Jim. That's incredible. Thank you.
Right. My pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Cheers. Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Okay, bye. Bye.